Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Secretive Prayer Podcast. And today we will be going over Genesis, and let's get started. Lauren, ready?
Yes. Lord, thank you for bringing us here together again. Please open our minds and our hearts. Give us understanding and wisdom as we read your word and study it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, so today we're going to call it Entering the Ark. And we're going to continue with Genesis 7. So I'm going to do a quick recap of Genesis 6 and then jump right into 7. So in 6, we went over quickly last week on the sons of God and daughters of mankind. And we learned that when mankind began to multiply on the earth and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw that the daughters of mankind were beautiful, and they took any they chose as wives for themselves. And the Lord said, "My spirit, it will not remain with mankind forever because they are corrupt." So then we learn, and then he gives them, we learned that things are getting really bad, and that some of the fallen angels start getting with the women, and they're having children, and they're the fallen angels are impregnating the women, and so things are getting really bad and corrupt. Like, it's murder, and it's just really, really bad. And then so then God says, that's it, I'm done. You know, it will be, he gives them 120 years to repent. So, but he finds Noah, right? He finds Noah, and that he's the only righteous one. And so he tells Noah, I'm gonna only save you and your family. Because there, he's the only one that's walking with God and that's righteous. And so he reveals his plan of judgment to Noah. So, and then also, you know, in chapter 6 is where we read that, you know, the Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth, and he was deeply grieved because of the wickedness. The wickedness of the people were really bad. And I can't help to think that that's kind of like where we are today. And he says, for I regret that I made them. But Noah, however, he found favor with the Lord. So God warns Noah about the flood that's going to come, tells him to build the ark, and that the people have 120 years to repent. And on the ark, I didn't mention last time that he tells them to build only one door. It only has one door to go in and out. So Noah starts building the ark, and he's telling the people at the same time he's doing ministry, and he's telling the people what's happening, what God said. But they don't believe him. They think Noah is crazy, and this is happening. You know, it's 120 years. Of Noah telling them, hey, this is coming. But I think I also read that it had never rained before, that this was the first time that it had ever rained. And so the people are just, you know, they just keep going about their business, and they don't believe, they think Noah is crazy, and they're watching him build this ark. And so now we're going to start with chapter 7, entering the ark. And one thing about Noah was that he did obey, you know, he remained in obedience, and he did everything that that God asked him to do. So then the Lord said to Noah, enter the ark, you and all your household, for I have seen that you alone are righteous before me in this generation. So nobody, right here is the end of the 120 days, and he tells Noah that, you know, nobody came, so it's just going to be you and your family and the animals that I asked you to save. So 7 days from, God tells them, 7 days from now, I will make it rain on the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and every living thing I have made, I will wipe off the face of the earth. And Noah did everything that the Lord commanded. And then Noah was 600 years old when the flood came and water covered the earth. So Noah, his sons, his wife, and his sons' wives entered the ark because of the flood waters. And from the clean animals, unclean animals, birds, and every creature that crawls on the ground, two of each, male and female, came to Noah and entered the ark, just as God had commanded him. 7 days later, the flood waters came on earth. So another thing was that Noah also saw where God brought the animals. You know, it says the animals came to Noah. So it's not like Noah had to go and catch, you know, a pair of each of the animals that he told him. But he also told him to bring clean animals. So these were going to be the clean animals that he was, that they were going to be able to eat in the boat. So that's why it shows clean and unclean.
And can you imagine the chaos that was probably happening outside the ark when the rain started coming? Because I'm sure it didn't pour right away. Like, I'm sure it started
with
slow drizzle. And as it started coming, to know that that door, there was handle on the outside.
And they probably thought like, wow, because rain, you know, it's kind of like us that we never get snow and then we get snow and we're just like amazed. So they're probably like, wow, right? You know, rain.
So it probably didn't snap right away, you think?
I don't know. I don't think.
Like you said, amazed that, oh my gosh, we're getting water from the sky.
Yeah, because 120 years, you know, the ark's over there and they're just, you know, they're already like, eh, you know, I would think.
And they're
that
still partying, drinking, getting married. Mm-hmm. Going about their life, la la la. Yeah, I can imagine.
And so so in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, on the 17th day of the month, so at 600 years, February 17th, on that day, all the sources of the vast watery depths burst open. The floodgates of the sky were opened, and the rain fell on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. On that same day, Noah and his three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, entered the ark, along with Noah's wife and his three sons' wives. They entered it with all the wildlife according to their kinds, all livestock according to their kinds, and all creatures. Those that entered, male and female of every creature, entered just as God had commanded him. Then the Lord shut him in. So Noah didn't shut the door. It was just the one door, right? But then the Lord shut him in. So God sealed the door, you know? So that was it. Like, it's done. You know, those that had a chance to enter the ark, that was it. Once that door closed, there was no opening it. And so, and you know, you're talking about the chaos that must have been happening, because for those that did remember the ark, that were like, oh man, with the ark, you know, go, it's true, it's happening.
Right.
And they ran it back to the ark, or they were at the ark, then it was too late, you know. And we're all, most of us are familiar with the scripture that what God opens, nobody can shut, you know, what God shuts, nobody can open.
Right. So, and just to think, you had 100 years. Oh, no, 120, I'm sorry,
120 years
of judgment, plenty of time. That just shows how patient he is, right? 120
yes.
years to repent, turn to me, follow my ways, and still no one did but Noah and his family.
But, you
and
know,
maybe,
go ahead.
Maybe you said God shut the door, and maybe he did that because he knew that, you know, Noah seen people, you know, crying and trying to throw their babies on board or whatever would try to open that door, right?
And yeah, and, right, yeah, that could, I mean, anything could have happened, because they could have tried to open the door themselves. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, people are panicking, you know, and there's all kind, I can only imagine the craziness. But that reminds us too that that's the world we're living in right now. And right now, you know, you have a chance, because that door right now is Jesus. It's not the ark, you know?
Right.
But, and we're also on a timeline here, and the day is going to come where, you know, that door's going to close. It's going to be shut, and it's going to be too late, you know? And mm-hmm. we're going to be seeing God's judgment. And then you're going to see people, you know, because remember the scripture that says that, you know, people will, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is God. But if that door is closed already, it's going to be too late, you know?
That's right.
So, but all those who do enter now, you know, that door's open now, and all those that do come to Jesus and they do repent, that door's open now. Now's the time, you know, don't wait, because we don't know when that day is going to come. And you read the wickedness of these people, you read it in scripture, and that's us today. That's, you know, it might think like, well, oh, those are the old times, people don't do that anymore. No, that's the life that we're living today. It's that bad. And, you know, in Luke, and there's actually several scripture where it says that, it's Luke 12, verse 49, where Jesus says, I come to divide and to bring fire, because he goes, I wish it would kindle right now. Like, so I can imagine back then when Jesus was walking with them and that he's seen the wickedness, that then what would he say about us today? You know,
what would he say?
Yeah. So, and nothing's changed, you know, that even after all of this, nothing's changed. So then Jesus, so God shuts the door is closed, and only Noah and his family are in the ark, and the animals, and the flood continued for 40 days and 40 nights, and the water increased and lifted up the ark so that it rose above the earth, and the water surged and increased greatly on the earth, and the ark floated on the surface of the water. Then the water surged even higher on the earth, and all the high mountains under the whole sky were covered. So everything was covered in water, everything, the mountains, everything, like you couldn't see land. Everything was just covered in water, and the water came from above, and it also came from below. And it didn't include the fish. You know, he doesn't say anything about the fish. It's just the animals from the land.
Right. And the sky.
Mm-hmm. And the sky. Yeah. And the animal and the people. The mountains were covered as the water surged above them more than 20 feet. Every creature perished. Everything with the breath of spirit of life in its nostrils. Everything on dry land died. He wiped out every living thing that was on the face of the earth, from mankind to livestock to creatures that crawl to the birds of the sky, and they were wiped off the earth. Only Noah was left and those that were with him in the ark. And the water surged on the earth 150 days. So here's Noah and everybody, and they're in the ark for 150 days. And I think that's like 5 months. I was trying to do the numbers earlier, and I think that's around 5 months if you count 30-day months. And so, you know, so God kind of had, I mean, I can only imagine being that long in the ark with all those animals, you know. And God tells Noah when to go into the ark, but he doesn't tell him when he's going to come out, you know. So, and that's kind of like us, right, when we begin our journey, you know, because mm-hmm. We whatever it is that brings us to return to God, and then he kind of isolates us in that same way too, right? And the right. storm comes, and we're in a sense, we're in an ark. He isolates us, and we've said that over and over, how he isolates us. So, and we don't know, you know, he has us isolated, and we don't know when he's going to open that door, right? So we are waiting, and I'm thinking, you know, Noah, that what did he do in that time? And he must have been, you know, since he walked with God and he was a righteous man, that he must have spent that time. I mean, he must have been pretty busy with all the animals and all that, but also that he spent that time mm-hmm. Looking for God. Because then as we go into chapter 8, it shows God remembered Noah. So I'm thinking maybe in those 150 days, Noah, you know, Noah was
God
probably
was silent.
Like, yeah, God was silent, right? So, right. And I'm like, yeah, that's us. We can relate
that's
to kinda that,
like
you know, yeah, yeah, where God was silent. And it's not that God mm-hmm. forgot Noah, you know, because he doesn't forget us. But in a sense too, I could see where God is so heartbroken, you know, and it's not that he forgot him and remembered him. I think that's just the way of God saying, you know, that it was time, you know, he remembered Noah, but because it was time now, because it tells us too in chapter 6 where God grieved, that he grieved because his people had turned this way, you know, because that's not what he intended for us, right? That's not the life that he intended for us to have. So God remembers Noah as well as all the wildlife and all the livestock that were with him in the ark. God caused a wind to pass over the earth and the water began to subside. So, and that just goes to show us how marvelous God is, you know, because he brought the water on, you know, here's this powerful water. I mean, I don't know if you've ever been to the ocean. I know that when we would go to, you know, on our vacation to the beach, just seeing how, you know, the standing in front of the ocean, you're kind of like just wow, you know, because, and more when you're if you get in the water and you're swimming in it, like how powerful that is,
the waves. Yep,
they the waves and that, yeah. And so, and that's just, you know, like we really have no control, and like us in Houston that we live through hurricanes, you know, that we seen what they can do, and that's God, you know. God is in control of all of that, and how here he sends a flood, but then he also sends the wind that makes the water to start receding. So the wind causes the water to recede and it begins to subside. The sources of the watery depths and the floodgates of the sky were closed, and the rain from the sky stopped. The water steadily receded from the earth, and by the end of the 150 days, the water had decreased significantly. So the water continues to recede until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, the tops of the mountains were visible. So the water slowly going down, receding, right? So after 40 days, Noah opened the window of the ark that he had made, and he sent out a raven. It went back and forth until the water had dried up from the earth. Then he sent out a dove to see whether the water on the earth's surface had gone down. But the dove found no resting place for its foot. So, you know, he sees the water receding. He sees the rain stop. But I'm thinking God is still silent, you know, and he's kind of just looking out the window and he's watching. And I was thinking, too, how patient he had to have been, because, you know, to not try and make a hole and try and get out and escape. I mean, I can only imagine how, you know,
his emotions were going.
Yeah,
up,
like just,
raging.
You know, yeah. The anxiety of just being in there. I can't even imagine what it was like in there, you know. And I'm sure they were asking him, how much longer?
Yeah. And then you have this huge boat, and if there's no water, or where was the boat? Was it stuck on land? Why didn't it tilt over? You know, I'm like,
no, because it wasn't. It does tell us here.
It was in water.
But until the water receded, and then it like parks, because it does tell us here in scripture. Yeah, and so so Noah waited 7 more days, and sent out the dove from the ark again. When the dove came to him at evening, there was a plucked olive leaf in its beak. So Noah knew that the water on the earth's surface had gone down. After he had waited another 7 days, he sent out the dove, but it did not return to him again. In the 601st year, in the first month, on the first day of the month, the water that had covered the earth was dried up. Then Noah removed the ark's cover and saw that the surface of the ground was drying. By the 27th day of the second month, the earth was dry. Then God spoke to Noah and come out of the ark. But there, it is somewhere in scripture. I thought I had underlined it to read it. But the ark does, as the water recedes, the ark, it tells us where the ark like parks. So okay. Then God spoke to Noah, come out of the ark. So, but you see how patient he had to be, because he's sending the dove. He waits another 7 days, and then he sends him again, you know, and then he brings the olive leaf, and then still he waits, and then until the dove doesn't return. And I think that was one of the hardest parts, because not knowing, not hearing from God, but still being obedient, you know, staying obedient, right, and not trying not to sin, and wait to hear from God to for when it's time, because it's very important. That's a big part of the journey, right? And that's probably, and that's the hardest, because we don't know. We panic and we run, or we panic and we react. And
you know, he's a perfect example of a family man. He's the father, a husband, a father-in-law, and he's there leading his family. The family had to trust him too, right? Because they could have easily said, "You know what, Dad? I don't know. I can't.
I'm leaving. Yeah."
So, I mean, he's a perfect example for our husbands or our sons to see their dads, to see, you know, to be like
his
that.
His wife, I'm sure, you know, going along with it too.
Yeah. Oh, right. And are we going to have enough, you know, enough food? Are we going to have enough of the stuff we need? And, you know, and all of those things, you know, like I can only imagine. So it's not like he was, I don't believe that he was just in the ark and, you know, cruising.
Yeah. So he definitely had to preach to them, comfort them, and just, you know, encourage them. Let's give God time to work, or whatever he may have said, you know. But yeah, wow. And especially being in a confined, I know it was huge, but the thought of, for me, I'm already panicking. Like if I was,
I know, I'm like, I think I anxiety. Doors,
elevator, think elevator. Like you have no way out.
That was the first thing that came to mind, is like, oh my God, my anxiety would have been, forget it.
Yeah.
So then Noah built, so as soon as they get out of the ark, the first thing that Noah does is he builds an altar to the Lord. And he took some of every kind of clean animal and every kind of clean bird and offered the burnt offering on the altar. So here, you know, again, Noah is trusting God, because the clean food was their food. So here he is sacrificing the food. Who knows how much they had left or how much longer they would need it, but he's trusting, you know, God to provide for them. He uses that, the same clean food that God provided, you know, told him to take. He uses some of that to sacrifice it and give it back to God, you know. And then I think this is really sweet. When the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma, he said to himself, "I will never again curse the ground because of human beings, even though the inclination of the human heart is evil from youth onward. And I will never again strike down every living thing as I have done." But just the smell, you know, when he smelled the pleasing aroma of the sacrifice, that, you know, softened his heart, you know, like that shows how much he missed that relationship with Noah, I think, you know, because Noah was the only one living righteous. So Noah was probably the only one sacrificing stuff, you know, when before the flood, and how much God missed that, you know?
Yeah.
And I think us too, when we stray and when we wander, you know, like if we stop going to church, or we stop talking to him, or we stop, you know, reading scripture, how he misses us, you know, and
mourns for us, you know.
Yes. So I was just like, wow.
And if you think like there's so many people, and he mourns for each individual, so it's not even like one more, because it says in scripture he has no favorites, like there's no favoritism. He loves us all equally, so I'm sure he mourns for us all equally.
Yes. Yep. And so that was just like, wow. And as long as, and he, that's when he brings the seasons. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night will not cease. So that's when he creates the seasons. And he says that he will never wipe everybody, you know, again with the flood. So now chapter 9, God's covenant with Noah. So God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth." So remember, this is the same thing that he had told to Adam and Eve. So it's like, you know, he hit that reset button, and he tells, you know, the fear and terror of of you will be in every living creature on the earth, every bird of the sky, every creature that crawls on the ground, and all the fish of the sea. They are placed under your authority. So again, here he places everything on the earth under the authority of man, you know? And I think that's important for us to remember, because we forget that. If you don't already know that, and then is, you know, that's a huge, that should really tell us how much God loves us too, you know, and why he created us, because he wanted us right. to multiply and be fruitful, because he wants that relationship with us. He wants us all, you know,
but, to... you know, you said he hit the reset button, but when he reset to start a new covenant with Noah and allow Noah to, you know, be fruitful, I wonder why he didn't, we still carry the burdens that we shouldn't have carried that came on through Adam and Eve. Why didn't, do you, I wonder, like, why he didn't take
well,
that
let me
away
tell
from
you.
Us.
Let me tell you.
Okay. I'm ahead of you. Sorry.
It's coming up. It's coming up. And then he tells them, however, you must not eat meat with its lifeblood in it. So you shouldn't eat, like, the raw meat, because the raw meat, you know, the blood and the meat represents life.
Right.
And he says, I will require a penalty for your lifeblood. I will require it from any animal and from any human. If someone murders a fellow human, I will require that person's life. Whoever sheds human blood, by humans, his blood will be shed. For God made humans in his image. So again, here we are starting over. Be obedient, you know, and you're going to have authority over the earth. And, you know, we're... He made us in his image. You know, he's telling Noah, you know, I made humans in his image. So we're supposed to imitate him, right? So,
right.
And then, and again, that never again will every creature be wiped out by flood waters. There will never again be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant I am making between me and you and every living creature with you, a covenant for all future generations. I have placed my bow in the clouds, and it will be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Is that what you're talking about when you say the rainbow, Yvette?
Yes.
When he says the bow. Okay.
Yes, it's and, the rainbow.
It's the rainbow, right?
Right.
So... Whenever I form clouds over the earth and the bow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all the living creatures. Water will never again become a flood to destroy every creature. So, you know, he tells them over and over, and the bow will be in the clouds, and I will look at it and remember the permanent covenant between God and all the living creatures on earth. God said to Noah, this is a sign of the covenant that I have established between me and every creature on earth. So so he sets the new covenant, you know, and he's showing him, like, I want this, you know, I want this for you guys, and this is going to remind me of this covenant that I'm making with you. And to me, that just shows another side of God, like how much he missed him in that time, and how he really wants this. He really wants this relationship with us, you know, like he really wants, because he could have wiped everybody out and be done with it, you know?
And be done, right. Yeah.
And he doesn't, you know, he saves Noah and his family, and then he starts over, and then he shows how much he missed us and how much it hurt him. So, so then we continue. Prophecies about Noah's family. Noah's sons who came out of the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Ham was the father of Canaan. These three were Noah's sons, and from them the whole earth was populated. So from the three sons of Noah, we all come from Noah, you know, from the three sons of Noah. And of course, Noah comes from, you know,
Adam and Eve.
And so, so here we are again. And because Tony, you know, goes in Tony's notes, he shows, like, hey, we're all from the same root. You know, so we all come from the same place. So we shouldn't say how one group of people is more
different. Right.
Right. And so, but then Noah is a man of the soil. And here it is, Yvette. began by planting a vineyard. He drank some of the wine, became drunk, and uncovered himself inside his tent. Ham, the father of Canaan, so Ham, the youngest son of Noah, saw his father naked and told his two brothers outside. So the way the commentary explains it is like he made Ham, the youngest son, finds him naked in his tent, and then like makes fun of him, you know, like it doesn't really give any detail, but like he mocked them or made fun of him. So he disrespected Noah because now Noah is like, you know, he's holy, you know, because he's walking with God. He's a righteous man, and he disrespects him. And then Shem and Japheth, his other two sons, take a cloak and place it over both their shoulders. And walking backward, they covered their father's nakedness. Their faces were turned away, and they did not see their father naked. When Noah awoke, So when Noah awoke from his drinking and learned that what his youngest son had done to him, he said, Canaan is cursed. He will be the lowest of slaves to his brothers. He also said, blessed be the Lord, the God of Shem. Let Canaan be Shem's slave. Let God extend Japheth. Let Japheth dwell in the tents of Shem. Let Canaan be Shem's slave. Now Noah lived 350 years after the flood. So Noah's life lasted 950 years. Then he died. So that brought sin back in. And then the bloodline of Canaan, then they would fall back into sin, and they start doing the wicked stuff again. So like it's like, oh man, so then we just
we're back
hit
to square
there.
One.
Yeah, so we're back to.
Well, and that's because the evil, the fallen angels are still on the earth, right?
Yeah,
the spirits are still on the earth.
Right, he never removed them, and I think because. Too, and I think we take that on too light, like, okay, yeah, there's, you know, bad angels out there. Hey, they have as much influence on us as the good spirits do on us. So just like angels protect us, you have angels out there that are whispering in your ear. Yeah. And, you know, God sees, I think because God saw that how, you know, between Abel and Cain, Abel was good. He was able to resist the sin, you know? So, and to where Cain wasn't, but Abel was. And look at all these wicked people. Noah was able to resist that sin, you know? Mm-hmm. And even though all those other people weren't able to, but Noah and his family did. And so God sees the good in us, you know? There is good in us. Not all of us have to go that way, you know, like he tells us you can have authority over all the earth, over all the animals, so you don't have to choose that life, you don't have to live that life, you know.
And you know, another example too is Noah was a man of righteousness, and so a lot of times, you know, we're good, but our kids sometimes won't follow us either.
Right.
You know, because we do say how the parents are the example of our kids, but we can give those good examples and one of our kids can just keep choosing, you know, because I was listening to a podcast today with Tony. He was talking about generational curses. And so it's hard because he was saying our great, great, great can pass down a behavior that we didn't even know existed. Yeah. But look at Ham, how he shamed his dad, and his dad was good.
Right.
So it makes me wonder too, you know, how true that would be, unless generation, right? Cain and Adam, like, I guess that skipped Noah and went to Ham, maybe, right?
Well, because it did come from Adam and Eve, but then they, you know, God hit the reset button, but then still here we have, and and God knew that, because remember he says, when he says that he'll never do it again, he says, I will never again curse the ground because of human beings, even though the inclination of the human heart is evil from youth onward. And I will never again strike down every living thing as I have done. So I think God knew that that was, of course, God knew, right? That that was coming because from you, this says from you. So,
yeah.
I mean, because he still, because we all still have the freedom, that freedom, you know, he still gives us that choice. Yeah, free will. Yeah. So you're right. You know, like we can do our best to give them a, you know, a good example because they're watching us and they're seeing us. And we have a better chance of them, you know, doing good instead of doing evil. And now with Jesus, you know, you're able to return to Jesus and repent for those sins, you know, to where before we didn't. And so you have better chances that way than if they see you doing evil and then they're doing evil too, then, you know,
right,
they're going to be part of the worst, and we don't want that, right? So
right
but
no, and look how it started. He was just shaming him. I mean, he was just saying like, haha, look at dad, he's all naked.
Yeah, right?
Look at that old man. He's drunk and he's all naked. That's all he did.
Well, and no, and Noah shouldn't have gotten drunk because
you see how that
because
he's probably doing some crazy stupid things, right? I mean, he was
playing, because
he's a good man, but if drunk, you're not yourself.
That's and right. That's what when you're drunk, you lose self-control, right? You lose self-control. And we should, you know, in Proverbs, what is it that one about we should want to be drunk with the Holy Spirit and not with, you know, anything else, because with drunkenness you do lose that self-control, and that's in the Bible over and over about drunkenness, you know. And so we
have a glass of wine, you can have a beer, it's not a sin to have the alcohol, but it is a sin if you overindulge it.
Yeah,
and then you make it a habit of overindulging it.
Yes, so Noah opened the door with his drunkenness, you know. So, and
God's not the one that said that was going to happen to him. Noah cursed his own son.
Right. Yeah.
Right. He cursed his own son. So instead of teaching him, don't do that. Yeah. Hey, I got drunk.
He can pass down the blessing.
Well,
he can pass
Noah could have done the same thing that Adam did. He could have gone back to God.
Yeah. And said, look, God, I messed up.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I messed up. And, I got drunk. Now my son did, and that acted on that anger, but he acted on that anger, you know, and that's important too.
So he's not completely innocent here either.
No. And as parents, we need to do the same thing when our kids make a mistake. And sometimes it is because we made a mistake, you know, if we're doing things and they're watching us. And so they see, hey, mom, well, I see you doing this. Why can't I do it? You know? And I think we've all been there. Yeah. And so, take that back to God, you know, take that back to God to help us with that, because.
And now we know to do that though. And I guess.
Yes.
But again, you know, what a perfect example for Noah. You can walk the straight line. You can.
Well, he knew about Adam and Eve.
Man, you can.
And he swerve
a little left, and even that little left can just take you off the path. And,
exactly.
But you're right.
Because
we don't have gotten right back on.
He could have taken that to God.
And this is after God had already told him, you are like, what did you say? You're in control of all the land, like making him.
Yeah, you have authority
right? Like you're king over all this.
Well,
right?
He was like the new Adam, you know? He was like the new Adam. So now
maybe he took his role there a little bit too much. And
he was probably like, you know, I was on the boat. I think now I can have a little bit of wine.
Yes. But I just think it's a big thing. It's huge that he damned his own son. I mean, instead
of, I can't have just one. I get
because it's like Moses, you know, God didn't say you could get divorced. Yeah. Moses said that. He took it upon himself.
Well, they acted on their own without God. They're acting on their own without God. And I think that goes to show we have a responsibility. Noah had a responsibility here. Like, hey, I'm putting you over all of this. You know, you have a responsibility now to lead, you know, and you have the influence over these people. Yeah. So you can't take that lightly. Just like his son, you know, was cursed. He thought he was being funny and he was cursed. You know,
and
you can't
curse
because he disrespected Noah, you know. And so you can't you have to be real careful. And I think that's the problem today, you know, and the same thing with marriage. We don't take it. Yeah. We don't see it as important. Yeah. We don't take it seriously. Mm-hmm. And we think that, you know, well, I'll, because that's what was Moses' intention, was like, well, you can, you know, get divorced, and then in hopes that people would learn the first time and get it right the second time and not get divorced again. And what do we have now? Divorce after divorce after divorce after divorce, you know? And there's consequences for that.
Well,
and
I people think
there's not.
You're getting younger and younger and younger getting married. Well, I was 19 when I got married, you know, but if you think about it, we or not, some people get married for the looks or for the image of it, you know, and then like, I think celebrities are a good example. Mm-hmm. They get married. Oh, you know, they're with somebody for 3 months. He's gorgeous, whatever. And then a month later they're divorcing, you know,
so right.
Not a lot of people are taking it seriously as
And so I think that and also this you know, God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Right. So you read this and it's like, God ain't playing. God ain't playing. So you read the Old Testament and you see that God's not playing. I'm telling you this and this and that. And he's also offering us his mercy and grace. So he gives us chance after chance after chance, but we have to come to him, you know, and there's no way around it, you know? So you can either choose to be cursed or you could choose to be blessed, you know?
And you're the free and will to choose.
You have to make that choice, and you have to work, you know, for that, because it's not just that you get to kick back and relax. No, we all have a responsibility, and he wants us to multiply and to be fruitful, you know, and he helps us in that as long as we stay obedient and we stay aligned with him, you know.
And he makes it clear on the sign that he gives us. I mean, I feel like since I've learned the meaning of a rainbow, and it's not just because of the rain with the cloud and the sun, it's what God represents, and it's a promise. His grace, his love, his mercy, all that rainbow is exactly the symbol of all those things that he is, that he doesn't change from, you know?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. He doesn't change, and he remembers us, and he wants that relationship with us, you know? And so, and we can have that, like, that's such a gift. So, so we finished 9, and that was so good. And, we'll continue next week with Genesis 10. Okay. You have a closing prayer?
I do. Isaiah 43:18 through 21. Do not remember the past events. Pay no attention to things of old. Look, I am about to do something new. Even now it is coming. Do you not see it? Indeed, I will make a way in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, wild animals, jackals, and ostriches will honor me. Because I provide water in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my chosen people. The people I formed for myself will declare my praise. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. And we'll see you next week.